What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here. And today we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today we have my brother from another mother, DJ CEO. Bro, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Peace, Daryl. Peace. And for one, thank you for the platform and thank you for having me. Those who don't know, I go by the name of DJ CEO. Mr. Style and Performance, known for my Style and Performance, international DJ. I'm about 20-something years in the game now, so, yeah.
Awesome, brother. Yeah, we're super excited to have you on the show. I know you very well, but our audience doesn't know you well, so I would love for you to kind of jump right into your story about, you know, what sparked your interest in DJing? When did you get started? And tell us a little bit about the early days and your journey as a DJ.
Okay, so I want to say the year was either 95 or 96. I can't lie. Like the further away I get from it, the more of a blur it becomes. But I want to say it was about 95, 96. One of my really good friends, his pops, they live like, so growing up in Clinton Hills, like specifically on my block, which is Lafayette, like the block is super long. So there's like there's three huge co-op buildings, a school, and then there's like another like random like condo building like in the middle. But this is all on one long block and they take up both sides of the block, Lafayette and DeKalb, sorry. So my boy, he lived in like the co-op, the condo building, like in between all the other buildings. And his pops was like, yo, come through, I'm gonna show you something. To this day, I have no idea. I need to ask him. Like, why did you want to show us this? So he was like, he was coming to the house, I want to show you something. And what he ended up showing us was this VHS tape of DJ Jazzy Jeff. And I can't remember if it was like just a routine that he was doing by himself or if it was him and Will, but whatever the case is, I saw it and my mind was blown. And I didn't know exactly what I saw, but I knew I wanted to do that. That's all I know. Like whatever I just saw, I wanted to do that. And you know, for me, I grew up around music. Music was very much a part of my life. I played the tuba, the baritone, and I played the bass drum in the marching band, and I played drums in the church. And then my dad was kind of like, I like to say, kind of like the family neighborhood DJ, if you will. Like, so he had all the records, and anytime like we would get together, he would play the music. So it was always in me to kind of entertain through music. But of course at the time I didn't have, you know, real turntables. So like anybody else, like I destroyed his his needles. Like I would just go home and get in the records and just try to scratch and mess up his needles. And because, you know, at that time you don't know there's differences in turntables and needles, all that stuff. So went through that, and then I remember asking my mom to buy me some turntables, and she just wasn't having it. And my mom's like super Christian, super, like she just didn't want that music in her house, right? That's just what it was. She didn't want that music in the house. So I want to say for that first year, I didn't do anything. Like I didn't really do anything. But just destroy my dad's equipment. That's it. Then I want to say around the following year, so I want to say this is probably like 96 or 97. Some of the older heads in the building were DJs. My guy Fred, rest in peace, Fred. He passed away almost 20 years. Right after I got started, he passed away from diabetes. And then my guy, Rich. So they were really tight. And Rich, they were both kind of in the industry. Like Fred DJed and Rich DJed also, but Rich was touring with like Bell Biv DeVoe, like a background dancer, you know, stuff like that. So they would just let me come to the house. They knew I wanted to DJ, so they would just let me come to the house and just mess around on the turntables for as long as I want, ask as many questions as I want, do what I want. So I did that for like a year. I would just like every day, like I would go up to every day I would go up to the house, sometimes uninvited, just knocking on the door like, hey, can I get y'all? I want to practice. And they were always welcoming, always like, yo, come on in, like whatever. So I actually, and I did my very first mixtape in their house. If I would have known this would have been a career, because at the time I had no idea that being a DJ was like a career. It was just something I wanted to do because I really liked it and I love what I saw. And I ended up taping over the mixtape. I've kicked myself every day for this. But I recorded my first mixtape at the house, and the first song on the mixtape was Last Night by As Yet. I will never forget that. Never. So that's where it kind of started. And then for a long time, I didn't have equipment for a long time. So I would just like go practice. And then when Fred died, I think back, I wonder if it was insensitive of me or not. But when he passed, I want to say I waited a couple months or so, and I just went to his family and I just asked what were they going to do with the equipment, you know, because this is where I was learning. And I think it was going to like his brothers or sisters or something like that. So a little more time went by and I wasn't really DJing. And then I want to say in 2000, which is so crazy, one of my best friends in the world, we grew up together. We went to like preschool and elementary school and all this together. And then he went to a different junior high school. And so you know how like you get older, you start to kind of, you know, do this. Not like we just didn't talk as much. We didn't see each other as much. So our freshman years in college, he ended up going to Hampton. I went to, I was at CSI first, but then I ended up going to Howard. But he went to Hampton with a bunch of the people from the neighborhood ended up going to Hampton. So one day we went by his house. His name was Henry. And we went by Henry's house and I saw that Henry had DJ equipment. I was like, yo, you DJ? He was like, yeah. I was like, oh shit. Like, yo, I DJ. I said I DJ, but I just really didn't. I was just like, yo, I DJ. I was like, yo, can I get on? He's like, yeah, go ahead, do your thing. So I just get on and I start rocking. And this, I'll speak to this later. But I tell people all the time, I have a gift. God gave me a gift to do this. I'm far more gifted than I am talented, which is probably the reason why most people kind of appreciate me and appreciate how I go about what I do, because it's more of a gift. It's less about me and just what has been placed in me. And so he was like, yo, you're really good. Mind you, this is maybe a year or two. I haven't touched turntables at all. He was like, yo, you're really good. And then he goes, you want to DJ my birthday party? And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? You know what I'm saying? I didn't even think twice of it. And I'm also that kind of person. Like, there's nothing I can't do. Like, if I decide I want to do it, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it well. That's just who I am. So his birthday party was like, let's say this was like a Wednesday. His birthday party was Saturday.
Wow.
So, right. So I was like, all right, cool. And it was just like, it was in his backyard. Like, his parents was out of town. They lived in this beautiful brownstone and they have this amazing backyard. So we were in the backyard and I, you know what I'm saying? I did my thing and I'm assuming I was good because, you know, I didn't hear any complaints, but you know, at the same time, when you're young, like you're not really like tapped in like that. So I did that. And then from there, we just started doing like a lot of like, we would throw our own house parties. So like my other boy, Jason, my other best friend, Jason, like when his parents went out of town, we would throw a house party at his house. And then we bring the equipment over. And whenever I had a chance, I would go to Henry's house. Cause remember, I still don't have any equipment. So I would go to Henry's house and I would go through the crates and I would just practice as much as I possibly can. And then, and we would do that. And we would have like packed like house parties. Like every summer we would do like 2 or 3 house parties and they would became legendary in like Fort Greene, Clinton Hill area, legendary. We had everybody just showing up. Like people would just show up. Like Gavin, Foxy Brown's brother, would just show up. My good friend, Kevin Powell, the hip hop journalist, would just show up. One of the last ones we did, Red Bull, unsolicited, just came through and like sponsored the part. Like they just, it was, that's how big of a deal it was that we were doing. So that was kind of like my intro into like on the scene and kind of, you know, getting my chops and getting my feet wet in what it is to like really DJ and rock parties. And I learned a lot like that. I did not get my, believe it or not, and this went on for years, I didn't get my first turntables until 2005.
Wow.
I didn't get, so I started in 96, yeah. Right? Wow. I didn't get my first turntables until about 10 years later. That's like 2005, 2006.
I think that's really dope, like how you went from watching that video with DJ Jazzy Jeff to, you know, really just being hungry and thirsty to touch turntables as often as possible from people that, you know, you knew locally and friends and family, and just any opportunity you sought to get more experience in it. And then eventually you had the confidence to just step up to an opportunity that randomly presented itself with your friend's birthday party, and you just went for it. And then from there, more opportunities popped up and you really started to solidify yourself as a legit DJ. And that led to, you know, you finally being able to afford and invest in your own turntable and then taking it from there. Like, that's a super organic and super like an interesting way that you kind of progressed within the industry. And what are some of the things that you kind of learned from that progression? Like, some of the things that was able to allow you to just jump into those opportunities, and some of the things that some DJs that are struggling to break their way in, like, could use from that lesson in that journey to get them to move forward in their business?
Well, I think the one thing is, which is super fortunate for like anybody who's trying to get into it now, it's way easier to get into it in DJ. I mean, there's the good and bad things with that, but it's much easier for them, particularly on the equipment side, right? Because there were no controllers. There's no laptops, no MP3s. It was two turntables and a mixer, which you had to get, and that was expensive. You had to get speakers, and you had to get, you had to get an amplifier, because we didn't have power speakers back. You know what I'm saying? You had to get an amplifier, and then you had to buy records. So it was a constant investment, a financial investment. And for me, I would just tell them, like, you know, get whatever it is that you want to get, you know, realistically for what you have space wise. What are you really trying to do with this? Because I feel like there's a lot of people who don't really want to be DJs, just want to learn how to DJ and say that they, you know, they can do it. I don't think they want to pursue this as a career. So I would say just get, and even if you do, like, just get whatever you can, whether it's, you know, controllers have evolved so much. You know, controllers keep getting bigger and bigger. The purpose of them was to be small and compact and transportable. Now they're getting bigger and bigger. But just get that and then find a mentor. You know, find a mentor in this sense, right? So I feel like there's great schools like the Scratch Academy. There's a bunch of DJ schools out there, this Blend Institute, where you can learn the technical skills, right? Which you should, because it's such a foundational aspect of it. You can't do it without the technical skills. You need to know how to change pitches and blend and beat match and, you know, get into song selection, all that type of stuff. But you need a mentor who's going to teach you really how to DJ. I tell people all the time, like, what you learn in these DJ schools is the fundamentals, which are important, but that's not DJing. DJing is the psychological aspect of it. It's the understanding song selection, understanding energy, understanding tempo, understanding how to read crowds and all that type of stuff. Understanding that just because two songs are in the same BPM doesn't mean that they work. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't mean that they have the same energy. So just, you know, sitting with somebody who's seasoned, who can kind of teach you the ropes and understand how to really kind of rock a party and rock any room, you know, because there are people who can rock clubs, but they can't rock lounges. People who can rock lounges, but can't rock, you know, festivals and all that type of stuff. There's different rooms that require different energy and different approaches. And I think a good mentor will help you with that. And then you just got to be persistent. If you really want to do this, you have to be persistent and you have to be consistent. You cannot, you can't part-time it. Not if you want to be really, really good at it. Not if you really want to be successful at it. You cannot part-time it. You have to put in the work. And that will be my advice. Just like, you really got to put in the work and study other DJs. Study other DJs as much as possible. Go to the clubs. Go to these different rooms, different spaces, and watch them and listen. And you'll pick up on things. If anybody tells you any different, they're lying. We all borrow from each other. We all pick up little skills and tips from each other that we apply to what we do and kind of make it our own. So that would be the advice. But yeah, it's so much easier. Like, for me, I really wanted to do it. Like, and my parents weren't going to give me the money, and I didn't have, and I played ball. Right. So I played ball in high school and my first year in college. I played in junior high school. I played ball my whole life. I really didn't have time to get a job. So I couldn't like save up to go you know, go buy the equipment. I was, you know, I was in tournaments during the summertime, and in school, it was just, it was difficult. And I didn't have the help for my parents to kind of go, okay, this is what you want to do. So that part is much easier for folks these days. But just, yeah, be consistent with it.
Yeah, that's great advice, man. I think that being consistent and really putting your energy, time, and money into this is something that you have to make a conscious decision. It's not something that just happens on accident. And you made that conscious decision. You was able to purchase your first turntable and equipment, and then start really building not just, you know, your skill set in DJing, but also the business around, you know, who you are as DJ CEO and the brand that you've built. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, some of the things that you've been doing in the most recent years, and kind of where we can, you know, see some of the things that you're working on now, and how can people really, you know, get engaged with you?
Yeah. So, like I mentioned in the beginning, I'm known for my style and performance. My brand, the DJ CEO brand, is it's a lifestyle brand. I consider myself a lifestyle DJ. So the way I carry myself, the way I dress, people, they look for that now. They expect it, and it's a big part of who I am. But it's not a gimmick. You know, it's not like, oh, let me do this so I get some. It's really who I am. I just chose to brand myself as that who I am. And I always encourage any DJ who's getting into the business now, it has to be so much more than your skill set. You have to be a brand, and you got to figure out what you feel is the most marketable aspect of who you are, and then make that a part of your brand. So that's what I did with Style and Performance. So that's how people really, really know me. And you know, with that, it's taken me all over the world. I've gotten a ton of gigs that I know for sure had far less to do with my talent and more to do with how I carry myself. So that was huge. And then, I'm sorry, you asking about like what I have going on now, or what's been going on?
Yeah. So what are some things that you're focused on now, and what's some things we can see from you in the future?
Okay. So I have a lot going on. So I still have the Lafayette and Grand clothing line is coming. Putting a lot of work into that. It's taking some time, cause I want to make sure that it's right when it comes out. That's another piece of advice. Like if you're going to do something in your career, take your time with it, make sure it's right. Because that saying that you only get one shot is like, it's true oftentimes. So I'm taking my time with it, but Lafayette and Grand, the clothing line is coming out. As far as the DJ stuff, so, you know, every Thursday night, you can catch me on One Away Soul. It's fairly new radio station, about 2-3 years old here in New York. R&B and classic hip hop. And then we play some funk and some soul, some Afro beat, some house, stuff like that. It's a really, really dope station. I just returned back with Live from the Living Room, which I had started in March of 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic. And most people don't know this, but I was going live on Instagram like 3 years before, like 2017, when nobody was doing it. And then, but the pandemic afforded it to be a much more successful go around this time. So I do Live from the Living Room, but it's on Twitch. So you know, you follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/DJCEO702. So I do that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. From 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a 2-hour set. It's always a different day, different energy, different genre. It's on Twitch. So Live from the Living Room, that's been hugely successful for me. What else I got going? I'm always popping up on somebody else's live, somebody else's, you know, everybody has like a show now on IG. So I'm hopping on, you know, people are asking me to do their show. So I'm doing that. I'm actually working on some cannabis-centered content. I'm staying really, really, really busy. I just did The Garden for the third time. I did a Knicks game. I hadn't done them in about 2 years. So I was back at The Garden doing the Knicks game. And I'm doing a lot of corporate stuff. I have a company that I work with, a couple companies I have really good relationships with, where they produce events for corporate clients, and they're constantly booking me. I'm the resident DJ for Wall Street and Friends. So all of their events that I do, and you know, fortunately enough, everybody's getting hip. Everybody's pivoting because of the pandemic. So everybody's going virtual and up in their tech game. So I've been fortunate enough to stay busy with that, you know, and keep the lights on, if you will, with doing that. I think, yeah, I have so much going on, and I always feel like I'm leaving something out. But that's pretty much, you know, what I'm doing now. And I'm working on a children's book.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to give away too much info on that just yet, but I'm working on a children's book.
So, amazing, man. You are a man of many talents, and I am super appreciative for you to share your story and to be able to talk briefly about your journey in the DJ business, man. And 30 minutes is not enough time to tell someone of so much talent and share your entire story. So we're definitely going to have you back here on the show and do another segment. And, you know, we're going to take this time to jump right into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, brother. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Oh, so I have two Pioneer PLX 1000s. I have a Pioneer DJ S9 mixer. I just have a little JBL monitor in here because I'm not really a mobile DJ. Yeah, and that's it. I have a classic mic that I like because I just like the style of it. And that's it. I mean, do you want the virtual stuff too or no? I got like lights and webcams and all that type of stuff. So, but yeah, that's my setup.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
One?
Up to you.
Well, Jazzy Jeff is my idol, you know. So it's Jeff and then everybody else. But there are a couple, my boy DJ Chaos is one of my favorite DJs in the world. I'd pay to go watch him DJ. He's really amazing. As a DJ, actually, I met, not through you, but I guess because of you with the club app, DJ Yazir out of Philly. Super, super dope. My boy DJ Ease, who he's from Rochester. We met in Vegas when we both living in Vegas. I mean, super, super, super dope DJ. Super talented. He's definitely somebody who inspires me all the time. My boy DJ J Crazy. I want to say, you know, Scratch, of course, Scratch. Yeah, I would say that. Jazzy Jeff and Scratch are like, you know, they're what you look forward to. They're the aspirational DJs. And everybody else is just, I'm really impressed with how talented they are. And they inspire me too, so.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
Oh, I got two. It's two. I don't got one, it's two, and they stand out. So I'm gonna tell you. So the first one is the NYC Dope. So NYC Dope party is with my man DJ Cozy and DJ Mark, Mark Smooth and Stone. They are the original founders of the Freedom Party. For those of you know, the Freedom Party split up. I'm not gonna get into that. So they started another party of NYC Dope. And Mark and Cozy have booked me couple years ago to DJ. You know, I said they knew I was in New York, you know, we're good friends, so I did it. And it was Mark's birthday, I believe. So I get there and it's supposed to be me, Mark, and Cozy. Mark forgets his laptop. And so Mark is like, yo, do you mind like going longer? Like, we'll pay you a little extra. I was like, yeah, I don't got no place, whatever. You know, y'all family. So we rocking. So it's outdoor. It's in Harlem. It's at this, I can't remember the name, but it's an outdoor spot. Beautiful spot. So I'm rocking, having a good time. It's a decent crowd. It's not packed, but it's a decent crowd. I'm rocking, having a good time. And Mark keep telling me like, don't worry. Like it's going to pick up. Like I guess he could kind of feel like, I was like, yeah, come on, man. Like, yeah, I know y'all for doing like big parties. I got to whatever. And he was like, nah, don't worry. So what happened was the Sunday Sermon, which is a party, a house, like house music party that they do in a park in Harlem that my man Stormy Norman does. So their thing ended at 6. So everybody from that party came over to this party. So now it is an absolute zoo. And I'm in the zone, rocking, I'm killing. And DJ Spinna happens to be there, right? And this, first of all, if you know anything about Mark and Cozy, anybody who's a legend, anybody who is a fixture, a well-respected figure in the DJ world and hip hop world, they come to their parties because they respect them for what they do musically and all this type of stuff. So Spin is there, Alamo from Grand Poop is there, from Brand Nubian is there. Like we having a good time. So I see Spinner. Somebody comes up to me and they're like, "Yo, what's your name?" And I was like, "CEO." They was like, "Word." They was like, "Yo, Spinner wanted to know." He was like, "He's feeling you. I'm like, "Ah, word, dope." You know. So this is kind of big to me. I'm always trying to impress DJs, right? And this is Spinner. Like, Spinner's a legend. So I'm like, "All right, cool." So I'm rocking. And then I see Spinner like standing on the side. So I guess he kind of wanted to meet me or say, "What's up?" So I said, "What's up?" And he's talking to Mark, and he leans over to Mark, and I'm kind of like, I'm DJing, but I'm just trying to see what's going on. And I can see Spinner mouth this. He goes, "Yo, your boy's a fucking beast." And I was just like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that felt so good to me that Spinner spoke so highly of me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I captured Spinner's attention, you know what I'm saying? So that was huge. And the second one, I met this lady. I was DJing one of the pool parties in Vegas. And it was just a group of black women that came. Amazing, amazing black woman, amazing energy. They just rocking out, having a good time. They were loving me. And so the lady says, her name is Tamiko Mosley. And she goes, yo, you're one of the dopest DJs I've ever heard in my life. And I was like, well, thank you. You know, and she was like, no, she said, like, I know all of them. Like, all of the big name DJs, all the big time, like, I know them. Like, they're my friends. And they're like, you're one of the best I've ever heard. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, all right, thanks. Whatever. So I'm not thinking much of it. She asked for my card. She was like, yo, I'm going to tell everybody I know about you. And I was like, all right. You know, in my head, I'm like, I heard this shit a million times. Like, okay, whatever. So no lie, like 2 weeks later, she hits me. She's like, yo, are you free in September? Forgot what the date was. She's like, I want to book you for a birthday party. I was like, all right, cool. Like, whatever. So I'm with it. So she books me. It's in LA. She flies me out, puts me in a hotel. But it's a house party. But she's not telling me anything. I didn't realize it was her birthday party until like I got there, right? So I'm there, and let me just backtrack really quickly. So her friend, I was speaking to one of her friends who's a model. Like, a lot of them were all like former models and actresses and stuff like that. And I was talking to her because I wanted to kind of get my foot more into the fashion world because that's a part of who I am. And she was like, you know, I can help you a little bit, but you really need to talk to Tamiko. Like, Tamiko is the person. She knows that. I'm like, all right. So I'm checking her IG and I'm seeing she's in pictures with like some A-listers, but I don't know who she is. So I'm thinking maybe this is work. Maybe she's like a publicist or assistant. I don't, you know, whatever. So we get there and she has a friend to come pick me up. And her friend is talking to me. She's like, yeah, you know, are you excited? I was like, yeah, you know, it's a party. Let's whatever. She's like, yeah, you're really going to love the Leonard's house. I was like, the Leonard's? Like, who were the Leonard's? She was like, oh, you don't know where we're going? I said, no. She's like, oh, yeah, it's at Sugar Ray Leonard's house. And I was like, ah, okay. All right, cool. So I'm like, all right. This is a little bigger than I thought it was. So I get there. The house is amazing. And when I'm in the backyard and I'm rocking, and actually I didn't start rocking yet because she had like a band playing before I started. And I'm walking around and Magic and Cookie Johnson are in there. LL and his wife are in there. Jim Jackson is in there from Fab Five and played with the Dallas Mavericks. Glenn Turman is in there. Smokey Robinson is in there. Johnny Gill. Beyonce's mom is in there. Like, this is just rent. This is like nonstop. And I'm in there rocking. Like, they are rocking. And I'm like, oh, like this is dope. Like, I played like If It Isn't Love. And I didn't know Johnny was in there. I played If It Isn't Love. And then I see the footage. And like, Johnny's out there like doing the dance moves from If It Isn't Love. Like, it was just so amazing. And then there was one moment, which I'll never forget. I find it funny now. But in the moment, I was a little nervous. So I'm rocking. And I kind of switched it up a little bit because of what Tamiko had asked me. And it didn't work quite as well, but you know, she asked me, she's cutting the check, it's whatever. So LL comes to me. LL's like, yo, you know what would kill him right now if you played a little Earth, Wind & Fire? And I'm like, yo, I was like, you know, I got it, L. Like, I got it. And he's like, all right. And he walked away. And I was like, fuck, I think I just ruined my career. Like, I think, like, I pretty much like Heisman'd LL, you know what I mean? And I just always thought, you know, I thought it was funny, but I mean, it was an amazing party. It was star-studded, but it was so much love. There was no pretentiousness in there. It wasn't like, sit me over here. I only drink this, don't da-da-da. No, it was just nothing but love in that room. And so those are my two favorite parties to date that I ever rocked.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
interesting. I don't know. I've met like a lot of famous people, but I wouldn't say interesting. Like in the sense, like I think interesting would have been like meeting Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know what I'm saying? Like a black astrophysicist. Like, damn, he was at the party, like turning up. Like that would be interesting. I've met him because I've met so many people. I've partied with so many people. I've DJed with so many big names. I can't say there's anybody interesting that I ever met, like that stands out as a DJ. Nah, unfortunately, I'm sorry, I can't. That hasn't really happened yet. Most of the people I've met have been, you know, just cool, famous people. That's it.
Yeah, and it's crazy because you've normalized it so much that it doesn't seem super extra interesting to you. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it doesn't. No, because all I would do is just run down a list of like all the people.
That's amazing. What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
That's a good question. I wish you would have asked me that before so I had time to think about it. I don't know. You know, the tech world, I'm learning a lot about the tech world. That's not really my space. So I wouldn't know what's missing. I would say that if visually there was a way for like, if you have, you can have whoever is in the room, you know, like how they have on IG, how you have on the club, Twitch, whoever's in the room, if we can have everybody on screen so I can like see people dancing, see them smiling and enjoying the music, see them, you know, having a drink, or even if, you know, if it's like 10 people at somebody's house and just having that, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not easy. You know, I need everybody to notice. It's not easy to DJ in front of a camera and not people. You know what I'm saying? It's not. Like, we've kind of figured out a way to kind of like sort of feel the energy from the comments and stuff like that. You know, Zoom parties are great for that, right? So Zoom, everybody's on camera. But it's because it's not a real party environment, even people on Zoom aren't really, like they might be dancing in their seats or, you know, doing something else while they're listening. You know what I'm saying? They're not engaged as it is. You know, like if you go to a club or a lounge or whatever, you went to party, so you have all their attention. So I don't think that will ever change, but I just feel like for streaming services, specifically those for DJs, it would just be great to be able to have everybody that's in the chat room on the screen. So as a DJ, I can feel like I'm DJing to a crowd and be able to feed off that energy and see people kind of reacting to the music that I'm playing. You know, fire emojis and you know, comments and stuff. That's cool. That's, you know, that's a great like way to kind of pick up and go, okay, this is what, you know, they're liking this, but it's not the same. So
shout out to any DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Any DJs who I feel like their story, you know what's funny, because a lot of us don't know each other's stories, so it's kind of hard to like, I mean, my boy DJ Dubs is one. He's a world renowned choreographer, and he transitioned from, I mean, he still choreographs. You know, he choreographed Coming to America too. But his transition into being a DJ is a very interesting one. There's a couple people that I've taught how to DJ and they've kind of ran with it. Like my homegirl, Tiff McPherson, like I taught her how to DJ. And now she's like the in-house DJ at Madison Square Garden. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think her story would be ill. Yeah, but outside of that, to be honest, I don't know everybody's story. So it'd be hard to, outside of Dubs and Tiff, yeah, I wouldn't know. Cause unfortunately, we don't have these conversations, you know, like we should. So I don't know their stories.
Awesome. Yeah, no, we hope to hear everyone's story, you know, on this podcast. And, you know, any DJ that wants to sign up and be on the show, they can do that at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Well, I'm definitely not doing any events because it is a pandemic. You can find me. You can follow me on Instagram at DJCEO. Pretty simple. Like I said earlier, Twitch, twitch.tv/DJCEO702. Twitter is at DJCEO. Facebook, it's DJCEO Style and Performance. And SoundCloud is you know, soundcloud.com/DEEJAYCEO-1. I forgot to mention earlier. So I have two YouTube pages. So I have The Loop for my podcast, The Loop, where I'm interviewing like amazing, you know, amazing folks in the industry and having them tell their stories, right? Rest in peace to my good brother, Prince Marquis D. I was fortunate enough to have him on the show before he passed. So I have that. And then I have my other YouTube channel, which is just DJ CEO. And there I'm putting up interstitials called How to DJ 201. So kind of how I mentioned earlier about somebody getting a mentor, where in this, it's like, you know, 3 minute interstitials where I'm kind of dropping gems on how to improve the intangibles of being a DJ. So I'm not talking about how to cut and crab scratch and baby scratch. No, I'm talking about like, how do you rock this room? You know, little tips and gems. So I'm doing that. And that's on my YouTube page, DJ CEO. So.
Awesome, bro. It was really great to have you on the podcast to hear your DJ story. Everyone, please check out my brother, DJ CEO, on the various platforms. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, my brother, for having me. And thank you for creating this platform for us DJs. I really appreciate it.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.